The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please put your hands together for the
Broadcast. A beautiful game from her point of view. Broadcast. Amy Walls, Claire Rustad, and Rian Wilkinson too. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. You're tuned into the broadcast on Footy Prime.
We tend to gab. We tend to gab over here in the broadcast. We're going to get right stuck into it. We had Claire Rustad remarking on the fact that her mic was dusty.
Yeah.
That's mic in quotes for all of you listeners. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what I'm talking about. But this is the broadcast. And this is the broadcast preview of the NSL final. The inaugural NSL final, where the winner will walk away with the D Cup, since renamed, pushed by President Christina Litz to be called the Bev or the Beverly, which I'm fine with, but I'm still going to kind of covertly refer to it as the D Cup. But it's happening. Covertly.
This is a podcast, Amy. Everybody's hearing this. It's not covert.
What if I whisper? Can they still hear me?
Whisper into my dusty mic and see if that works.
All right. Well, that voice that you're hearing, that's Claire Rustad, Dr. Claire Rustad. She's with us, and she will also be with us on coverage, which is happening on TSN, on CBC, on Radio Canada, on RDS, 2 p.m. this Saturday, November 15th. Claire Rustad will be on the panel with Andy Petrillo and Queenie herself, Erin McLeod, who also joins the broadcast today. Hi, Erin.
Hello.
Claire, you didn't get a chance to say hi. You can do that after. And then always.
Erin and I talked for like an hour yesterday.
She already did say Butler. Hi, but her mic is so dusty that actually.
That's right. Yeah, you have to get to that layer of dust.
People. No, I was just saying hi to Erin.
Okay. Sigs, how's it going?
It's good. It's good. I can't believe we're here. I cannot believe we're here. And also, I'm just going to just start this with a complaint about the weather. Like,
yeah, airing of grievances. Go.
Like, we had perfect weather. We were coasting into fall. I'm like, oh, the final looks so good. It's going to be 5 degrees, perfect November football weather. And then like colossal snow in Toronto, now rain. The men's team plays Thursday night at the pitch. It's going to be chopped up. What's it going to look like on Saturday?
That's a good point.
Apparently it's going to rain. Anyway, I'm of the optimism that it's all going to blow away because it's November and the weather just changes on a dime. So
It's going to blow off just like the dust on Claire's mic. But you know, you said you can't believe it's here, Sigs, but you know who can't believe that she's not here? Our own Shireen Ahmed, whose train, I think, probably affected by the weather, we'll say.
She's going to come in hot, though. I feel like she's just going to roll in and be like, and another thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But yeah, she might jump on. So we'll keep the listeners waiting there on the edge of their seats. But let's dive right into it, guys, because we are recording. Actually, I won't say when we're recording because this is going to drop Thursday. So we'll just pretend that it's Thursday. Wink. And we're going to get into just a little bit of the recap. Oh my goodness. Just perfectly timed. You know who's here? Shireen Ahmed.
On another note. And another thing.
Were you just waiting there and waiting for me to say something? And then like, there you are. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm not good. I'm not good on like normal technology. And I'm fighting with my phone on the go train. I love you guys so much. And thank you for being patient. And you know, I wanted to be on this episode. Low key, Erin, please reply to my text. I feel like a loser.
What text? Oh my God.
You're being called out, Queenie.
We are being recorded. Salty over there.
I'm so salty. This train is killing me. Anyways, I love you guys. What were we talking about? I'll shut up now.
We love you. Are you going to hang out for a bit? Or are you going to check back out?
I'm going to run to the CBC when I get to Union and be a sweaty mess and then join you again.
Okay. Sounds good. We look forward to it. We won't talk about anything while you're gone.
I did. When Signal came. When Signal and I went to Halifax and I was like, let's hang out.
Yesterday I was and I talked like an hour this morning and Trine's like, she won't respond to my text.
I don't have anything from you. Okay. Well,
yes, let's do this off air. Because we only have a certain amount of time to dig into the semifinals and then look ahead to the final. Shireen, I hope your train gets to CBC and then you can join us to kind of preview the final. Okay, we'll miss you.
I love you. This is terrible, but I love you guys. I'm so sorry. Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, that was uncanny, the timing and all that. Aaron was called out. Grievances were aired, but I'm pretty sure
I've been checking my.
He probably has the wrong number, right? Is what I'm thinking. Possible. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I would like to start. So not necessarily with the order the games were played, but the order that they ended. So given the weather, Signe, you were talking about. I mean, the CPL and that Blizzard Bowl and whatever that was. I mean, I think CPL and the reach and the eyeballs and everybody talking about it, that's tremendous, I think, for Canadian soccer. And then NSL's match, so that was the second leg of AFC Toronto as a top seed hosting the Montreal Roses. They absolutely rolled in that contest 4-1. Esther Okoronkwo with a hat trick in 27 minutes. That was unbelievable. But we won't start there. We will start with the Ottawa-Vancouver match, which was played, which seems like an eternity ago. Signe, you and I were on the call on Saturday. And so they are the team, and I'll just preface this and then throw it to you, Sigs, that had the quickest turnaround in those semifinal legs, where because of infrastructure, they hosted on the Tuesday night, and then 4 days turnaround, lots of travel for Ottawa, lots of travel for Vancouver. And then they came from behind twice. Once in normal time, and then that goes to extra time, and then they were behind on pens, and they end up getting the berth to the final. So your impressions, Signe Butler, of that first semifinal?
You know, after the first leg, I didn't really know what to expect. Again, that short turnaround, and I know Aaron can talk to the travel in the NSL this year and how difficult it is, especially for those coastal teams. But it was really, really difficult because Ottawa had to travel twice. Ottawa was the higher seed here and had to travel, you know, two times. So I think they were almost at a disadvantage for finishing second. And we saw an Ottawa team in leg one that was not who we saw all season. I think that's fair to say. And I think they're, you know, Katrina Peterson said that as well. Like we need to perform as one unit. And they did. Like that second leg was outstanding from both teams.
If Shireen Ahmed was here, she would say that that was the best women's football match that she's ever seen. She said that. She's on record as saying that.
Okay, so I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
There's this certain match called London 2012 semifinal that I would probably put up there as the greatest match ever. But yeah, I thought both teams played outstanding. Back and forth, like, you know, like two heavyweights, like battling it out in the boxing ring and the cruelest way possible. I mean, I don't think anybody loves penalties. I thought Dagenet was outstanding for Ottawa in goal and they were ahead four goals. I forget what it was. I think it was maybe 4-2 and is that right?
It was 4-3 because Pierski
missed. 4-3. And I thought, okay, like, you know, seal the deal. Both coaches made their substitute. Like it was just very, like, you knew it was going to PKs. Like I said, mm-hmm. before the match, Amy, didn't I? I said, this match is going to PKs.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was like, you shut your mouth.
And it did. And it was, I'm sad that somebody had to lose. I do think though that Vancouver if you took the crux of both matches, I think they were the better team. They played better. They were the most consistent team in both games. And I think that hurts for Ottawa, who was the most consistent team all season.
Yeah.
And just to see that, you know, it's, you know, someone has to lose and that's the sad part. Yeah.
Aaron, what stood out to you out of that semifinal battle?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Signe. I think it was unfortunate for Ottawa. I think the way that they got scored on early in the first leg, like when you're trying to play out of the back and you kind of get punished. For me, it felt like it took them the whole like first half to kind of get back into the game. And then they never were able to kind of even it out. For me, Vancouver at this stage of the season, like they've
really improved. I would say the second half of the season, they've gotten better and better and better. And I think what really stood out to me, actually, and Claire and I were talking about this yesterday, is my biggest criticism of Vancouver early on in the season has been their moments of defensive transition, because they're constantly sending like their fullbacks really aggressive high, and they often are like even numbers in the back. And I think that Spencer, that the biggest shift I saw was her kind of staying a little bit more at bay. So she, even if she committed forward, you could see her kind of like drifting and being ready for those transitional moments. And I think for me, like, of course I will say this because I love my CBs, but I think Cohort has been fantastic for mm-hmm. Vancouver, and the combination with Lake, and Amy, you were telling me she's a summer signing. Like Lake for me is like not a standout, but her from a positioning standpoint is like those two together, I think, are often in the right place. The organization, Spencer staying back a little bit more. And then like Samantha Chang for me has, I know she wasn't there at the beginning of the season, but like, that girl, I don't know what her GPS is saying, like how much she is running everything. She's cover, everywhere. Yeah. She's like breaking in behind the line, and then she's covering for her fullbacks like in the channel. And I think she's added such an incredible dimension to the team that enables people around her, like Quinn, to be able to play the way that Quinn can play, one touch, hit the diags. And so I really saw so much improvement in Vancouver, and really just right now peaking, I think, against Ottawa. And of course, like, I mean, Desiree Scott introduced me to my wife, so like I'm indebted to that woman for the rest of my life. But I think
you must have been feeling all the feels when Desi herself was emotional when she got subbed.
Oh, I know. And they kept like panning to her, and I was like, I just couldn't watch. But I think in the moment, yeah, like Vancouver was a better team, but like I agree, Desjardins and Claire and I were talking about goalkeeper. Like this league has been so great for goalkeepers. You're playing week in and week out. Like if you remember, they had, I think it's Molly Erickson at the beginning of the mm-hmm. season. She gets injured. Desjardins steps in and like peaks at the last game. That's her best game of the season, yeah. mm-hmm. you know? So for me, just like amazing takeaways. But I do think that Vancouver deserved to win.
Claire Rustad, sitting there patiently with your exposed beams. Not exposed high beams, just exposed beams.
Wouldn't be that far off.
Are you feeling the same thing? Because, like, I love, Aaron, that you're talking about Vancouver's backline. Like, they have shown some defensive frailties due to the injuries mm-hmm. suffered, right? Mm-hmm. They lose Shannon Weller. They lost Ariel Young. Kennedy Faulkner has been unavailable. We were told that she was available. She wasn't on the bench. So it's very interesting to me that you're singling out the play of Cowart and Lake. And Bridget, I always say her last name wrong, Signa?
Mutipula.
As coming off the U17 Women's World Cup, came in as a substitute and was bossing that back line at the center of a three back, right? Which is like they play this expansive style. Claire, is that what stood out for you as well? Are you looking at defensively how good Vancouver were, or is it somebody like Holly Ward in the attack?
No, I mean, I think Vancouver's back line has better feet than Ottawa's back line. And I think that game came down to small things like that, right? And small decision-making errors from Ottawa that, I mean, they're both really talented teams and I think very evenly matched, but there were certain decision-making moments where it was just like Ottawa wasn't making the critical decision. And I thought Forbes kept playing in some great crosses and it was just like the run decision-making wasn't like that timing wasn't adding up for Ottawa. And there was a moment where Pridham broke in. I'm talking the second leg. Mm-hmm. That's the game I'm talking about. There were moments where Pridham broke in over the back into the back line and she makes a decision to go one way when the clear and obvious touch is to go the other way. Like just little moments like that, right? That add up in a game that's so evenly matched. Whereas for Vancouver, those broke the other way. It was also a game that I found, the second leg was a game that I found that was often not played in the middle of the park for either mm-hmm. team. And both teams, both back lines ended up bypassing the middle of the park quite frequently. And Aaron talked about how Sam Chang's kind of all over the place, which is great. But like, I found at times there was a void in the middle of the park for both teams. And Vancouver was just able to capitalize on that.
Yeah. I think with Chang too, those runs from deeper.
Yeah.
The back line for Ottawa was unable to contend with that. Like the third man run coming usually on that left-hand side.
Yeah. Couldn't cope and couldn't adjust. And at times got caught ball watching, I found. And certainly on, I can't remember which goal that was, on the goal.
For Vancouver?
Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And Milo, just a second, buddy. And
our listeners and viewers are so happy that Milo's back. Milo's and back. You, Claire, but Milo mostly.
He's eating pancakes. He's not that impressed with this. I thought like everybody ball watching. There were three options for Vancouver could have scored that goal. I think Addo was at the back post and easily could have buried it if it didn't get put away initially. And it was just, it's little, again, those are little in the game decision-making moments. You make a decision to focus on the ball and you lose somebody. And it's, and that type of focus you can't lose. And I also will say when Scott was coming off the pitch and Cigna's like, will this be the last time we see I was like, don't say it, Cigna. Manifest it.
I said like this or this. I said, this will be the last time.
Will this be the last time?
Yes, it will. Oh my goodness. Okay.
And yeah. I was like, oh my God, she manifested it. But you know what? Like, I think penalties are the worst, but they're also the best in some ways. And I just can't reconcile that in my brain. What I was impressed with during the opener that I did in Vancouver and what I've been impressed with throughout the extent of the season is the quality that this league has demonstrated in its first year. And I think that's been, I mean, that's a testament to a player pool. It's a testament to, you know, how the league was put together and I think it really bodes well for the future of the league as a whole. And Aaron and I were talking about just sort of the knock-on effect that this can have and the moment that we're at right now. It's like, okay, you've done a season. Well, almost. As of Saturday, the season will be done.
Saturday. 2 p.m. Get your tickets.
But then you have a second season. Right. And now like this, now I have expectations, guys.
We always have fucking expectations.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't have them until the opener. Now, like, oh crap, now I've got them. But now not just me, but people have expectations of the league. Right. And the expectation is that it grows and that it doesn't sort of collapse in on itself in a second season. So, I think that's good pressure to have. And I think that can be very productive pressure to have. And I think that if this is the quality that we're building from, I think that bodes really well for development, overall. I mean, you look at players like, I'm not going to like say I was right, but I mean, I was a little bit right. Kaylee Hunter, and that kid is 17 that kid, Aaron and I were like, oh, back in our day. But like that kid, when she was 17, if she was 17.
You were just happy that you could bring Aaron with you, who's technically a different generation, into your day.
Aaron, with me back into
are we family. A different generation?
Kind of.
No, I come back to the 90s. In our day, that would have been you play for your club and you play for your high school and you go to the NCAA. And if you haven't cracked the national team, that's it. You go back and play for a club team somewhere. Maybe you go over to Europe. You're making like room and board. But Europe was so not what it is now back then. Right. So I think that now having kids, Kaylee Hunter's age, having access to professional level of training at home, they don't have to leave their family. They don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. I mean, now we'll get into that because we're a big country, but whatever. But they, like having access to that level of professional training and gameplay at home, I think is just so invaluable for eventual just overall player development.
Yes, for sure. I was going to just mention really quick because I wanted to touch on it, but just about the development piece and the standard to go back to that for a second. And Aaron, I want to hear about what your sense is of all of that as being a player starting in this league, retiring, and then still being very much involved in it. And then now, like as a pundit for the final, like what your impression is of all of it. But the fact that that second semifinal, and Claire, your point about Keeley Hunters is well taken, and we'll segue to that other match, but it's postponed. And I think that it's right on brand with NSL and what it's all about, and that it's player centric. We're going to protect the players. It's going to be all about player welfare. And that standard is going to be on display. Because if you go ahead and you have that match take place, the standard that we've worked so hard to protect, but also expose and like project, get out there, the visibility of all of it, I think you have a chance of it coming back to bite you. Because people get an eye on that. You want the eyeballs, and they're like, well, this league is shit. Because did you see the standard that was being played? And I'm not saying that we kowtow to the detractors. Dee always talked about that. We're not talking to those people. But the danger is in playing it. That's secondary to, I think, protecting the players and being cognizant and making sure that player safety is paramount. But I think that it was really important. And Aaron, I want you to speak to just like your sense of the standard that the league was like had on display this season.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be at the beginning of the season, I think kind of to what Claire said, like, I think everybody who committed was like, what are we in for? Right. And we had no concept of what the level would be like. I will say like, it's very rare when you're like every single person is new in every single position from staff to player, right? So I think as the season kind of progressed and people had different experiences in professional levels, like I think as things went on, we were developing just higher standards. Then we had like a, you know, we've created like a players group basically also trying to communicate with the head staff of the league, like how can we make things better? And I think that relationship has really improved. But I think like on field, just the quality, I am a soccer nerd or a nerd in general, obviously, but
oh, I'm always pro nerds. Nerds, yeah. No shit, man.
Oh, let's get a t-shirt. Anyway, I think like watching and scouting these two teams specifically, like I'm going through the Toronto midfield and I am like anyone would be salivating. Like the, you know, we've got like, first of all, Stratagakis, somebody get that ball, the girl, that the ball, because I've never seen so much like selfless running from one person every yes. time I'm like, please get her the ball. But anyway, doesn't matter. The talent going through that Toronto midfield, you know, and the relationships on top from both teams, right? Mm-hmm. Like Keeley Hunter and Okoronkwo, they work the way they're working together. And then you've got Abdo and DeFilippo. It's just like, for me, just watching, like I'm a technical director of a club now. It's a very different experience, but, and just like some of the movements off the ball, on the ball, like some of the, like Keeley Hunter, you want to be watching her, you want to be watching Abdu. And it makes me proud that these players, so many of them Canadian, coming mm-hmm. through the system and shining in this league at home. And that's within, again, Claire, to your point, within a season. And I think what the league has done a really good job of is the professional standards around the players. Like you've got the GPS tracking, we're prioritizing strength and conditioning, we're, you know, the medical side of things. And of course there's areas we need to improve, but because they have those things in place, that's why I think this league is going to be so successful, because it kind of like expedites the whole process. And so, and for me, like, I can't wait. I'm geeking out about the game on Saturday because I really have no idea what the result will be. I'm just so excited that Vancouver is peaking right now and Toronto's just been such a solid force all season.
So let's, that Shireen Salty Ahmed has joined us now.
And then he's probably left.
No, I'm here. My stupid camera, you know, can't work.
Yeah, her camera, which is like, it's like.
And John really wants.
Oh, and there
she is. And she's gone.
We need to get into this final. So you were talking about geeking out, nerding out, Aaron, about looking ahead at this matchup, right? Like it is very enticing. And I think, Signa, we have talked about, and compelling, we've talked about like at the beginning of the year on paper, the juggernaut that was AFC Toronto, they've fulfilled that. They've met expectations and some. And then Vancouver, they were the other kind of heavy hitter. and they're meeting in the final, I think much to the chagrin of Ottawa and Montreal, who will be on the outside looking in, and then Calgary and Halifax looking ahead to next season. But before we do that, can we just talk and like give our flowers to the Nigerian queen herself in Esther Okoronkwo and that iconic Canadian celebration evoking Sam Adekubi? Like, that was legendary stuff, wasn't it?
It was awesome. It was so good. I mean, I think Esther, the last two games, actually three games, because the game against Montreal in the regular season that wrapped things up, Esther was just toying with them. Like, toying with them in just, like, she shields the ball so well. She goes at people so well. She's not always greedy, you know, despite the hat trick. She's the assist maker as well. Like, she makes things happen. And to see her, I mean, I don't know how much joy the Super Falcon was having, like jumping into the snowbank, but I think everybody else, I think everybody else was just happy that she did it.
Yeah.
But yeah. There was a few grimaces, I think, when she jumped back in the snowbank, but that's okay. Welcome to Canada.
Claire, like the movement and Sigs you're talking about playing provider, Esther is just can just as easily do that. We've seen the set piece wizardry, whether it's for Nigeria or for AFC Toronto, even though you have other people there who can be on the ball. Claire, are you just as impressed with Kaylee Hunter, seeing her now at the end of the season, or maybe even more so than you were at the beginning of the year when you saw her?
More. Yeah. I think she's really grown into that, like grown into a partnership with Okoronkwo, and I think they move off of each other really well. I think Hunter shows back for the ball in the midfield really well. It's you just have to give people a chance. You know what I mean? Like, you just need to provide an environment for a kid like this to thrive, and look what happened. I mean, was I annoyed as hell they didn't take her off the field when it started to snow and they were
Going
to win? Yes, very. Mm-hmm.
And when they're up 5-0 on aggregate, can we make some subs? Yeah.
And she's got a wrapped up leg. Like, just get her off the field. She's a kid. She'll heal in 5 seconds, but let's not, you know, roll the knee dice. you know what I mean? So, I think I'm more impressed, that's actually Milo, turn that down, please. All the way down. Thank you. What's even more that's an impressive thing to do at that age too, develop such a strong partnership with another player. Like, it shows a high level of maturity in the way that she plays. And I love the way the two of them play off of each other. I love the wit that they use. I think what's going to be cool about this matchup is it's a battle of two, you know, workhorse midfields, but, I like the way that Toronto uses the width. And I think they actually, both teams do that really well, but I was going to say
the expansive style of Vancouver and the kind of the potency, the menace that they have in the channels. That's going to be great matchups there.
What strikes me about Toronto is how well their central midfielders use the width themselves, how they pull out and not to a detriment of them of the team defensively, right? So I think that they're able to recover really well. I mean, these are two very fit teams, which is really important to both of the way that the ways that they play. But I really like how those central midfielders in for Toronto use that width. I like how Okoronkwo uses the width. So Kaylee Hunter's like dropping back in the midfield to receive the ball, and Okoronkwo immediately pulls out wide looking for that ball in behind. I think it's a lot of intuitive movement, and it just shows that this team, they play really well together as a unit. Those are some of the things I think. Now Shireen has joined us. When she said, let me in the chat, I was like, no, I'm worried you're going to hurt me.
I tried to let you in multiple times, but it said that your devices weren't connected.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Sense. So listen, we're getting close to wrapping here. Predictions, are we going to make them? Or at least how do you think this match is going to go? Shireen, and who has the advantage going in between Toronto and Vancouver?
Okay, so can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Okay, something else was going to go wrong. I don't want to do predictions because my initial prediction of Ottawa being in the final was incorrect. So I didn't, that was something I can say, mea culpa. I don't want to say Toronto playing at BMO is a lot of pressure, particularly because I've never won there before. Mm-hmm. And it's something that Marco said in the post-game presser. there's a lot of ease. And Nikki said also post game that they're going to go into it just like it's another match, one thing at a time, which is really interesting because it speaks to their mental peace and how centered they are, how comfortable with each other they are. You don't only see it up front, but you see like a bench with depth. Rise, on the other hand, is it's almost like they have something to prove. And I like that. I like, you know, I like the tension and drama.
Because they've been so uneven. They've been like lowest of lows. Remember, they got blown out by AFC Toronto this year.
Like, Rise has been so inconsistent. It reminds me of a perimenopausal woman and her hormones. Like, it's all over the place. Welcome to the
Rise, everyone.
And like, it just hasn't been consistent. But we know when they pull together, they can. Their performance against Ottawa was really solid, like in the second leg. Like, I actually said that I think that was one of the best women's football matches I've seen in a long time.
What did you earlier on in the podcast?
Yeah, it was. It was phenomenal.
So did Signa.
Okay, well, that's a first, Sigs. Anyways, well, other way, but I think it was fabulous. And the one thing that keeps us on our toes is that we don't know what Rise will bring. So I'm waiting to see what happens there because they can be so inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a surprise attack by Enya, like, surprise, we're going to be on it today. But ultimately, they want to win this. Yeah, Toronto, it's home turf. They've never won. They're added pressure. But Rise, I wouldn't, like, you know, I don't know. And I'm not mad at that. You know, I love chaos. So
for sure. I'm looking at the time. I'm cognizant of it. Signe Butler, we've heard Enya talk about, you know, in the piece of play the game, not the occasion, that the Rise are better equipped to do that because they managed that in the inaugural match. Do you think the edge goes to them because of that?
I think it's a factor. I also think it's a factor that they've beaten Toronto at BMO Field with 10 players. On 10 players. I think they're coming in with a load of confidence. I haven't seen a team. They're on something right now. I'm not saying that's where I'm leaning with this final.
Enhancing drugs.
What?
You said they're on something right now. And I was like,
they're on something. They're not. No. They are on something.
Allegedly. We're not.
Like adrenaline. Not right. Drugs.
All natural.
Amy Walsh. And don't do drugs, kids. they're on something right now in terms of confidence, in terms of like faith in each other. Like, there's just a certain connection that I see that I haven't seen all season from them. But AFC Toronto, despite the fact that they have some significant injuries to their back line, which has taken away a little bit of that cohesiveness that they've showed defensively, which I think was maybe the stickling point with Toronto, was like, is that three back really working for them? Mm-hmm. And it did. And they've inserted, like, I mean, hats off to Pickett going back there and playing fullback, right?
That was wild. That's wild.
Catherine Rollins as a 20-year-old.
As a 20-year-old, straight out of U Sports.
And Victoria Pickett.
Yeah. I mean, so they've been up to the task. And I think it was Aaron Queenie about Toronto's midfield. Earlier in the podcast, of course, it could have been all of us because their midfield is outstanding. But that battle between Vancouver's midfield and Toronto's midfield is going to be epic.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's going to be like an Emma Regan v. Sam Chang extravaganza.
It's going to be great. And the other thing too, though, advantage.
And the optics of that are phenomenal.
Totally. And up front, I said the advantage for me is up front. It's the diagonal runs and the partnership between, like, nobody runs off the back of defenders like Kaylee Hunter does. I think that's going to be a real troublesome for Vancouver's backline, who has played very well. But I think that they haven't faced a duo like Esther and Kaylee.
Aaron, to you, who has the edge here?
Oh, my God. I don't know if anyone's really giving a clear answer. I don't know. I think for Vancouver to compete, it comes down to two players. I think Abdu is the most influential player offensively. If she is on, her off the ball movement, even her like back press, like, she has such a huge impact. If she's not really in the game, they play like a different team, right? From an attacking standpoint. And then I think McCaslin, like you talked about, that 1-0 game, 10 players. Like, she was unbelievable. She's the only person on that whole team that has gotten any recognition from an accolade standpoint this season, if you think about it, right? Toronto's gotten everything. Yep. And she's the only one, right? So I think, again, she has to play really well for them to have a chance. I think Toronto is the better team, but I do think Vancouver's more unpredictable. And if those two players really step up, I think they have a chance.
Claire Rested, doctor, you get the last word.
Ah, you guys would regret that. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. We had a podcast earlier in the year where we'd made predictions about who was going to come out on top. And I, if you recall, I said Toronto. And no one else did. And so I think Toronto's got the edge here. I think they, of the two midfield units, have the stronger one. I think that that's where this game's actually going to be won. I know both teams have very strong strikers and a lot of attacking power, but this game will be won in the middle of the park. And I think that Toronto has the more dynamic, well-rounded middle of the park. And I think all of the players there contribute offensively and defensively. Like, they're both bi-directional. It's a bi midfield, guys. I think that it's
we're inclusive NSL and on the broadcast,
right? So I think that it's a. I think that's where this game gets won and lost. And I think Toronto's stronger there. I mean, it's a ballsy move to consistently just really stick with three in the back. Especially when you get so many injuries and have to play players, because in order to play a three in the back, like, you guys need to know each other's short sizes. Like, that's how tight you need to be and how well you need to know each other. And how
did you say you have to know each other's short sizes? Is that what you said?
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's an example of how closely you need to know each other.
Intimate relationship.
But you need to know that without looking, right? Like, you need to know where people are going to be without having to look. And so it's a ballsy move to continue to play like that when you're having to use combinations of players you haven't used before. And I think there were times in their, excuse me, in the semifinal matches where it was like, oh, God. Hold on a second. Yeah, I know. We're going to go soon. Sorry.
Yes, and because Aaron has to go. So on that.
And Aaron has to go too. Yes. So I think there were times where it was a little edgy, but I think that what they do well, they're such a fit team. They do a good job of pulling players back from the midfield. So, and again, I think that's where the game's going to be won and lost, and I think Toronto has the edge.
Yeah. I think both teams who are so like aggressive, and we talk about their attack, it might be one in that back line and with our goalkeeping. Looking to you, Queenie, right? It might be the edge, who has the edge between McCaslin and Cody Yard. We haven't even said her name on this podcast.
I think that's the question.
Yeah.
That's the question, the goalkeeping.
Yeah. Well, Cody Yard, it's funny, she hasn't had as many shots, obviously, because of the strength of her team, but she always is very consistent, I think, and they play totally different.
Yeah.
She manages the space. You talk about a back three, you also have to have a goalkeeper who's on their front foot, managing that space in behind, and I think she does that really well. I mean, there's a few games she's had some, like, iffy decisions, but she is, in general, I think she's really grown in that space, and that's one of her strengths.
And she's matured over the course of the season. You've seen that growth, right? Across that body of work, definitely, after she filled in for Manor.
Yeah, I think, like, she's not called upon a lot, but what you saw, especially in the semis, like, when she's called upon, she's solid.
Yeah. Okay, friends, on that, we have to leave you there, but I think that was a really comprehensive look at...
Wait a second, you didn't say what you thought.
Oh. Yeah, Amy.
Yeah, hit us.
Amy. Come on, guys. I think I will not call a winner, but I will say that I think it's going to be a slugfest. I think we're going to see lots of goals.
Ooh,
we're going to see a barn burner. I think this is going to be like a 3-2 affair.
Oh, ooh.
Yep.
Okay. I'll see.
I'll buy you guys a beer if I'm wrong.
Also, I think that's what you said also. Lots of goals, lots of saves. Is that, I didn't hear
always,
it.
Always, Aaron. Yes.
Saves. And okay, for all the kids out there, a 6-7 maybe.
No,
you're 41 and Shireen
6-7.
Thank you for broadening your horizons with us with this all-star cast today. So tune in NSL final November 15th, 2 p.m. Catch it everywhere on all the major broadcasts, TSN, CBC, RadCan, RDS, and see our beautiful faces, all of us, and hear us on that broadcast. So
okay, I have to take a picture. Everybody look at the screen. No. Claire model.
Hey, look, balloons.
Oh my God, he's having a party.
I think I can do it too if I do a heart. Wait, I'm so bad at doing heart. Look.
What?
Claire Hart.
Okay, I love you guys, listeners. Thank you. Cheers for listening and watching. And maybe a wrap-up next week of the NSL and its inaugural season that was. Cheers for listening and watching. Thanks, everybody.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Bye.
Bye. So long. I have logistical questions.
Like out.